As always, the NCAA men's basketball tournament has much of the country riveted to the television 4 days a week as cries of joy and anguish erupt every couple of hours as grown men and women furiously cheer schools that many of them never heard of before. We are knee-deep in March Madness. The field of 65 has been whittled to 16. As usual, some of the mighty have fallen. Duke, Georgetown, and a couple of Cinderellas are still dancing. Call and tell us about the surprises, outrages, and schadenfreude that's afflicted your bracket in the office pool. Our number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Bill Simmons writes for ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine. He joins us from his home in Los Angeles. Bill, thanks very much for being with us today.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks.
And looking at your bracket, you're not doing any better than I am.
No. And it's funny because I took chances because I thought this would actually be kind of a wild tournament. And I guess you could call it wild, although all of the number one seeds are still alive. But it's just so hard to get these right. I mean, there's the old joke that you have to be an office assistant or somebody's grandmother to win an office pool, and I think that's definitely the case this year.
Only people who pick by favorite color.
Yeah, or say you went to Davidson and you had them going to the Sweet 16. That was the only one I got right, but that's the kind of stuff that needs to happen. And I also think a lot of people at Duke, because it seemed like it was a fairly easy region for them. So I think that screwed up some people. But the fact that we do this tournament challenge on ESPN.com, and I think we had 3.65 million people filled out a bracket. Only two of them have their Sweet 16 left. So that goes to tell you how impossible this is.
It's just insane. And, as you say, knowledge, experience, logic, none of those help.
No, I think that stuff helps when you get to the Final Four. I watch UCLA a lot this year, and I still think they're going to win the title. And I don't think that's something you could just pull out of a hat, unless, you liked them as a kid or your son went there or whatever. But, I still think there's something to be said for actually watching the games. But with that said, they were down 10 in round two and really could have lost that game had a couple of things gone Texas A&M's way. So, I think the real story here is that when it's one game, winner takes all, anything can happen.
Had a couple of things gone more Texas and A&M's way. That guy was mugged underneath the basket.
That's true.
He was fouled twice on his last shot.
Here in L.A., everybody says that was a great call.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure how they're saying that across the country. Yeah, UCLA has – that's the fourth or fifth game they've won this season where they've gotten, an incredibly shady call.
Like the shot from behind the backboard.
Yes, and I think in the last time they played – I think it was Stanford before the tournament. They had this ridiculous charge, not charge call that ended up pushing the game in overtime. But yeah, everyone in LA is looking past that stuff here.
Now you call them a MacGyver team. What do you mean by that?
Well, I thought you saw it on Saturday. They're one of those teams. The textbook kind of NCAA team that does well in the tournament is a team that can shoot a lot of threes, that has the one penetrator who can get in the paint, create shots for everybody. They're not really in that category. They don't really shoot threes that well, and they get a lot of ugly baskets, a lot of loose balls. I wrote in the column that they get a lot of balls that'll bounce off somebody's face and go right to somebody for a layup. They're very lucky and they're very resilient, and they have a habit of falling behind in these games and then somehow rallying back and winning. And that's one of the reasons I picked them to win.
Yet there are a bunch of teams still in the tournament like that. Wisconsin for one.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about the teams that are left are a lot of them have different identities. Wisconsin, very good defensive team. They win ugly. They win these low-scoring games. They're very physical. And they're going against Davidson, who has really emerged as, I think, America's darling because they have they kind of have the Hoosiers template. They have this guy, Stephen Curry, who's their star guy, and he's doing the Jimmy Chitwood routine.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the team is hickory high, and now they're going against the big bad kids from Wisconsin. And he's one of those guys that, if he gets hot in any game, you're going to lose. So that's probably my favorite matchup of the Sweet 16, actually.
Let's see if we can get some callers on the line. Our guest is Bill Simmons, ESPN sports guy, with us from his home in Los Angeles. 800-989-8255. If you'd like to bemoan your bracket or tout your picks thus far, email us, talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Noah. Noah with us from Tucson, Arizona.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Simmons, Mr. Cohen, I'm a big fan of both of you.
Oh, well, that's nice.
You know, I'm actually an Arizona fan, so I had to watch West Virginia lose, but my bracket was most importantly destroyed by picking the superstar Beasley right. over Wisconsin.
At Kansas State, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is the standard mistake in every bracket, is you pick the one flashy guy over the team of big, strong, corn-fed white boys.
Yeah, I actually did that. I had USC going to the Final Four because I'd been watching O.J. Mayo for the last month, and I just became convinced that this guy was becoming a real superstar and was going to use this tournament as a platform to kind of announce, like, hey, I've arrived.
O.J. Mayo, the freshman guard at USC. Yeah. And they got beaten by how much?
Double figures. I forget the final score, but they were never really in the game. And ironically, they lost to the guy who's probably going to be the number one pick in the draft, Michael Beasley. And then he came out the next game, and they got killed by Wisconsin.
Killed. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Okay, Noah, thanks very much. Let's see if we can get here's an email, by the way. This is from Elizabeth. I got the most excited about watching Villanova play Siena and Western Kentucky versus San Diego, the battle of the underdogs. It's too bad they now have to go up against KU and UCLA next, but Sweet 16, way to go, kids. And it's not just Western Kentucky, and, Siena did not last long, but nevertheless, there are a couple of real surprises in the Final 16, as they seem to be every year.
Yeah, I think this is pretty much fit the formula for the most part. You had Thursday stunk. Now, Thursday is just jinxed. I think my theory is that everybody gets so excited for the tournament that on Thursday, you know, it's almost like a national holiday, and the games just haven't been good on Thursday for like 7 years.
All the favorites won.
Yeah, it's just that there wasn't really a memorable game other than Duke almost lost to Belmont. But on Friday, we had some classics. We had an overtime game. We had a buzzer beater. And that was more of what we're used to at the tournament. And then in this weekend, we had a couple of underdogs win. So, you know, I think it's been pretty good so far.
Let's get Len on the line. Len with us from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yes, back in the mid to late 60s, the Drake Bulldogs, Drake University out of Des Moines, Iowa, was a Cinderella team. They went to the Final Four. I think they lost to UCLA, and I think it was Lou Alcindor said it was they were the toughest team they'd played all year, even though they ended up third rather than second. Wonder if any other Cinderella teams have made it that far.
Well, a couple of years ago, we had George Mason made the Final Four. I think that was the most famous recent example. And I think the way this particular college basketball season was going, it seemed like everybody thought six or seven teams could win. But there were so many good teams in the mid-majors that people were thinking, maybe this is year one of these teams kind of sneaks in. And you could see it with Davidson because they fit the formula. They have the star players, as we said before, and they kind of, you know, they have a Cinderella thing going. They've snuck up on some people. So maybe that'll be the team.
And they've learned how to, take a 16-point, let the other team take a 17-point lead and sneak up on them in the second half.
Right. And they also, another thing that they fit is they have the parent that the cameras love showing in the stands. In this case, Stephen Curry's dad was Del Curry, who was a great shooter in the NBA. And his mom also was very attractive. So the cameras didn't like know which one to show out of those two. So they do fit a lot of the formula.
Now, you mentioned George Mason that went to the Final Four. Of course, Bill Bradley's team at Princeton went to the Final Four, too. I don't remember if that was as much of an upset as George Mason, though.
Yeah, I think I remember that they were actually highly regarded, which is hard to believe now because I went to the Cornell-Stanford game because it was in Anaheim. And Stanford won by about 120 points. And the highlight of the game was Cornell's cheerleaders, they tried to do a pyramid, and it almost collapsed. Like, it was actually scary for a second. And then you were, like, rooting for them to pull off the pyramid, and it was like the cheerleaders had been assembled, like, 2 days before. So that's what I'm going to remember from my Anaheim experience.
Len, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to this is John, and John with us from Des Moines, Iowa.
We're very proud of our coach, Keno Davis, and the entire Drake team. They lost a last-second buzzer buster to Western Kentucky.
Yep.
So far, that was the most exciting game I've seen of the tournament, although we will be back, and I'll leave it at that.
Determination there, John.
You bet. Well, hey, they came from last place in the Mo Valley or way down in the Mo Valley up to winning the regular season and the tournament, and then boom, got lost in the first round there. That just was terrible. You could hear the collective sigh all through Des Moines, Iowa when that happened. I'm telling you.
And for me, because I had them in my Sweet 16.
Pardon?
Hey, you could also hear the sigh from me because I had them in my Sweet 16.
Yeah, well, 1 point, you know, 1 point one way or the other, and that's the way it goes in a tournament.
Well, I think that was by far the toughest loss that anybody had in the first 4 days. And it was probably the most exciting game. I think the most
sympathy is greatly appreciated.
Thank you. The most dramatic game, though, I think was the UCLA Texas A&M game on Saturday, because that just felt like a big game. And Texas A&M
well, there's a lot
played really well.
They're all big at the tournament, let me tell you.
John,
and you sit there and you just say go go go, and half of them do and half of them don't.
John, thanks very much.
You betcha.
Better luck next time.
Bye.
We're talking with Bill Simmons of ESPN, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go now to Keith, and Keith calling us from Kentucky.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Keith.
Yes, I was just calling to comment how in grading our brackets here locally at home with my four brother-in-laws and my mother-in-law, and I felt pretty confident that I had picked on the left side of the bracket. I'd picked each of the eight winners with the exception of I had Winthrop beating Notre Dame, which obviously didn't come to fruition. But even with picking the Siena win and the Villanova and Villanova over Siena, including Davidson over Georgetown, now, regrettably, you go to the right side, and I think I have two wins on the right side because of the UConns, the Dukes, Marquette didn't prevail. And I look and I'm grading, and my mother-in-law, I think she only has one miss on the right side. And granted, she is an SEC fan. So I think that's where the West Virginia pick over Duke came into play for her. But it just amazed me that I felt so confident in grading my left side. And then when I got to the right side and then graded my mother-in-law's, it really didn't make me feel that smart.
Yeah, and it makes for such interesting conversation at the next family get-together, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
They never let
Enjoy
you forget.
Enjoy the show. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much for the call. Let's see if we can go now to Mike. And Mike's with us from Farmington in, is that New Mexico?
Yes, sir. I'm out in Farmington, New Mexico, but I am an alum of WKU.
Aha, Western Kentucky.
Wow. I tell you, the thing I think is so doggone funny is after Western had beaten Drake, Digger Phelps and the three wise men over at ESPN said, "Oh, bring it on home, San Diego. WKU doesn't have a chance." And, you know, after Western beat them good and proper, when they had all the updates on ESPN after the games that day, all they did was just show a board with the score, and they didn't say diddly.
That is Bill Simmons. The word that gets overused, I think, more often than any other at tournament time, and I guess maybe in sports, is respect, as in we don't get any.
Yeah, and that's become one of the themes of sports in general. I think I've actually started factoring that into my predictions because it seems like the team that doesn't get enough respect, that, you know, it's almost you would put that in the pro category if you're doing the pro-con thing because they love rallying around that. And it's, you know, you saw it with the Giants with the Super Bowl, and you see it basically all the time now. Now, I even think Barack Obama, he's become the first politician who's been playing the nobody believed in us card.
John McCain has the same card. Yeah,
yeah, true. Yeah, true. Yeah. But it's definitely something you see all the time. Now, if you're looking at the teams that are left, I guess you'd have to look at some of those lower seeds to do the nobody respected us card. But maybe somebody like Washington State would be a good one.
Let's get J.R. on us. J.R. is with us from Chillicothe. Did I get that right?
Chillicothe
in Ohio.
Yeah, I was going to call in as someone who was a former player. I played college ball and then became a sports writer for some time. And now in my other job since, I've always been expected to be the most intelligent and going to pick the perfect bracket. And it seems like I always finish like fourth or fifth from last in my pool. Everyone likes to make fun of me and tell me, "Oh, you get all that." It's like there's no reason to have experience with basketball when you're picking this bracket.
Nah. You're better off just taking all the number one seeds to the Final Four. It's probably the safest. And just pick all the favorites to win each round. You'll probably do better than three-fourths of the people who put in
like
the pool.
To take that. I did pick Davidson to beat Georgetown. I had that exact game, and I actually picked that game exactly, Davidson to win. So that's where I feel like, well, I've proven my merit right there with that one pick. So
there's a bunch of choking dogs in your bracket too, I bet.
Oh, there's plenty, trust me.
Yeah, I only had 9 of the final 16 teams, but I did have Davidson in the Sweet 16, so that's my moral victory in my bracket.
We're absolutely experts right now.
JR and Bill, you're both experts because at the end of every other week, you get a check for doing this.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
It's true. I think it's debatable whether I'm an expert. I think most people, after seeing my picks over the last few years, would call me an entertainer.
JR, thanks very much for the call.
No problem.
And Bill Simmons, we do have a copy of your before anybody was eliminated, your bracket as listed, and you had that MacGyver team, UCLA, going all the way and presumably using a penknife to win the final game and some fixing the clock to get an extra 3 seconds for a shot. You sticking with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think every one of these teams that ends up winning has one scare either relatively early on or somewhere in the middle, and I think hopefully that was their scare. The one thing I'm not sticking with, I had them beating Tennessee, and from what I saw of Tennessee those first two games, I don't think they have the ball-handling guard to really – win 6 straight games. Like, they barely won yesterday and probably shouldn't have won. So I see somebody else coming out of that side. I'm just not sure who yet.
And in the previous game, you had them beating Duke, and I guess that isn't happening either.
No, and Duke was probably the biggest failure of this tournament. I guess you could say USC,
Georgetown too. Anyway, Bill, good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
Bill Simmons, a lead columnist for ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine, with us today from his home in Los Angeles. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. The tournament resumes on Thursday. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.